questions, because we do. Your Jimmy Podcast. We blew it up.
Got him. I hit him. Down low. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Mulehorn Gaming Podcast. We have a very special guest with us tonight, and I can't wait for you guys. We'll introduce him here in a second. It's going to be so fun. But for you guys that are joining us for the first time, this is our podcast where we just basically fireside chat, talk about gaming, life, whatever it would be. And we always start the night off with what you're drinking. And I'll start off. I had a late lunch, and I had some P. Terry's Dr. Pepper. So...
P. Terry's? What is P. Terry's?
It's a burger joint. It's like you get burgers and shakes. And
we don't have that in Houston, so.
It's a local thing. So, yeah, it's good.
You know, Austonians.
Yeah.
Well, as you just heard, I cracked open a Delilah's Into the Darkness Cran Raspberry Sour, 12% alcohol by volume, made in Texas for Texans.
Nice.
Oh my God, it is so good. If you like sour, this is the thing. Sorry,
Glenn. Yeah. No, the man of the hour.
The only thing I ever drink is holy water. Obviously, when I announce on social media I drink holy water, it has to be with a little wink, because you know that's definitely not water.
right. No. What else is in that water? Yeah.
H2O plus.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to go ahead and just get into this because I've been following you, Pope, for, gosh, I think since I actually got on Twitter. You were one of the first accounts that I found. And I just remember looking at your art that you did with the controllers and the consoles. And I was just like, God, dude, this is such a cool dude. And so I just have been following you ever since then. And, man, I just want to say I'm a fan of your work. I can't wait to hear your story. So tell us, who is Pope?
Just going off the back of that, for starters, you know, because I get that reaction a lot. Well, for me, you know, I'm just a normal down-to-earth guy, you know. I don't class myself as anything special, you know. And I get that reaction all the time, even when I do like meetings with publishers or, you know, game developers. They're, oh my God, it's Pope, you know. It's, and I kind of just like go, all right, okay, because like I'm just not that kind of way. Like I'm just not a diva, you know. I'm just one of the lads, you know, just up for a laugh and up for giggles, you know. So I guess who is Pope? I mean, I think, you know, Pope's he's the guy on a stage, you know. He's the, if you can imagine a theater, and then, you know, he's standing in the center, then seconds later he's at the far end, and then he's at the other end, and he's jumping, and he's so spontaneous, you know. You don't really know what he's going to do, or what he's going to say, for that matter. Because
you get dangerous.
Well, I know where the line is that I can't cross, you know, without, but I'll always push to that line only in a fun humor way, because I've spent years on social media, you know, years.
Yeah.
And it's all this sort of, you know, doom and gloom and negativity, and
yep.
And we see enough of it, man. We see enough of it, you know. So, like, what people don't realize is there's a lot of people have a lot of shit going on in their personal lives, you know, that like they might not want to announce on like social media, you know. They're just looking for someone to cheer them up or have a laugh with. Or, and again, I guess I kind of made sure I embedded that within Pope, you know. So he's never gonna, you know, pronounce any negativity. He's never gonna sort of spout hate or stuff like that. He'll always just find a happy place, even when you're having a really bad day. You'll kind of, because I do see everything, you know, and I see some people are having a really bad day, so I'll kind of jump in there and just make it slightly, you know, slight fun. So then at least for 5 seconds of that one day that they're having a bad time, they've had a fun time, you know. And I think all it takes is just little tiny bits like that, you know, to at least say to someone, you know, like, I haven't been forgotten about, you know, someone did pay attention to my cries, you know. And I think the more people do that, you don't have to kind of go over the top and start, like, you know,
yeah,
1 hour counseling, because I'm not a counselor at the end of the day. So it's not my job to counsel someone. But if I notice things were too bad with someone, because I do get them kind of DMs, you know, then, you know, I'll always point them into the sort of professional route, you know, like, you know, you need a phone this number, or, you know,
yeah,
kind of group of people, because it did wonders for me. Or I knew a guy who had similar problems and just spoke to this group of people, and hey, I got a message a month later saying, you know, that was the most amazing advice he ever gave his Pope, you know, like, because, like, it truly fixed us, you know.
Is that kind of what inspired the name Pope?
Yeah, because when I was doing all the fan arts, it was always based on the fact that I was doing these out of the goodness of my own heart.
Yeah.
And they always seem to bring joy to people. And, oh my God, you know, Pope did this, you know, fan art for me. And so I was never called Pope back in the day. And I just inherited the name from the community. So then it kind of stuck. And then what happened was I was originally called Xbox Pope. Because obviously I kind of do a lot on Xbox controllers, and it's not because I love Xbox, it's the fact that it's got such a beautiful canvas, you know, it's so much easier to kind of do art,
yeah,
on the face rather than, you know, the PlayStation. You've only got the, like, sort of side rails and, you know, that little bit at the top, which it's okay, you know, but it's a struggle sometimes, you know, to make anything look exciting. Mm. And then I think it was, do you know, like, Ed Boon from Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
And he had reached out. He's like, oh my God, this is like the most amazing PlayStation or something I did for Mortal Kombat. And he's like, but this dude's called Xbox Pope. Like, that's weird. You know? And it's like, damn, I am doing all this PlayStation stuff, but I'm called Xbox Pope. That's kind of a bit weird, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, well, what can I change my name to, you know, because everyone knows it as Pope. So then I thought, well, there's an art culture called pop art, you know? So that's why you've got the lower E, because I've blended two words together. So it's pop art, and it's also
clever.
Pope art, you know, so that's kind of where. But then I tried to get the name, but then this dude in South Africa who's got like 26 followers has got the, like, the one that hasn't got anything on the end of it, you know. So I managed to get the underscore, which is kind of nice, because it kind of worked for my logo. And I wanted my logo to sort of not be a logo. It was almost like, it's signed, so it's you're approved. It's like, nice. It's unique. It's different. It's like you finally made the sort of grade, let's say, to receive a Pope design. You know,
Twitter here.
And I think as well, what you got to remember is everything that I do is exclusive. Like, I've had loads of opportunities to kind of mass produce my designs, you know, but I kind of refuse to do it. And it's because I want people to feel like when they've received a Pope design or a controller, it's special to them. You know, yep. It has more attachment, like emotional attachment.
Yeah.
Than, oh, well, it's just a piece of plastic with a pretty graphic on, you know, it's, so that's why I've always restricted myself from mass production, you know. It's, and plus a lot of people, you know, refer me to a bit of a almost Banksy, you know, he's just unique, he's different, he's, you know, he's almost telling stories rather than doing graphics. And I kind of just sort of fell into that sort of niche by accident, really. I never inspired to be this exclusive kind of controller designer, let's say, you know. It just naturally happened, and luckily I've been quite successful in the realms of people like yourself or people out there have respected me and give us that luxury of praising me for my work and following me and supporting me. So I've kind of, you guys, really, the community is made Pope, not me, you know, which is extra special. So that's why I work hard for the community, you know. The community can mold Pope into whatever they want, really. It's just entirely up to them.
So you're saying you're the people's Pope?
More or less.
Nice.
Yeah, right. More or less. Almost a bit like the real Pope, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I can draw the parallels for sure.
I think people just relate to you too, Pope. I mean, that's like, like you were saying, man, you're just a everyday guy, and you know, people love that. They love you're approachable, like how you just randomly showed up in one of our streams the other day. Like that was just so fun to see you. As we got, yeah,
did you see that one the other day? I kind of, because I never really sort of hang around very long in streams, because I just never have much free time, really.
Yeah.
And I joined this follower's stream, and I just said hi, you know. Dear God, I think she nearly fell off the chair, you know. Oh my God, it's Pope, and she started screaming and kind of going all wild. And I thought, oh my God, like, how do I have this kind of reaction all the time, you know? And it's wonderful, you know. It gives me kind of hope, and it gives me a reason to continue, you know, what it is that I do, because unfortunately I have my own invisible disabilities, you know. I kind of struggle. But
tell us about that. How do you do art with that?
I used to hide my disabilities quite well, you know. And then it wasn't until like a few years ago that I started thinking, well, maybe it's not a disability, maybe it's a superpower, you know? And nice. The reason why I kind of think a lot differently is because I've been given this kind of incredible power for a reason, you know, and that's to kind of inspire people, give people hope, you know, make people just have a look at life in a fun way rather than, you know, like a, because we all get depressed. Even Pope gets depressed, you know. It's just a natural thing to do. But I think if you can find the positives out of whatever it is that you're going, that's happening in your life, you will get through it, you know. I mean, if you think how many times I've failed to get my work to the level I've got it now, where I can pick and choose however many I want things made now at a higher level. But I had to kind of go on that journey of testing businesses and seeing what their capabilities are, and some did all right, some failed, you know, and unfortunately I get the backlash if things fail, you know. It's like Pope's crap, you know, Pope's just a buddy grabber or whatever it is they kind of say, you know. And I think, and to be fair, you know, this business is super difficult. Like, it's, you don't make any money at all, really, on making controllers. It's not an area that you can monopolize on, because by the time you pay the $60 for the controller, then you've got to have someone strip it all down, then you've got to have it all customized, then there's my time for design time, then there's, you know, it just, And then whoever's making it, they've got like employees, so they've got wages to pay, and you know, it,
licensing, it kinda, all that, yeah.
It, you know, it all chisels away at the, and then you've got import and export taxes, you know, so it kind of it all eats away at the any of anyone really making any huge profit, you know. Yeah. But my fight was always trying to get them as low as possible, but you know, as high a quality as I can, you know, but. Unless you're making, unless I've got someone like Xbox making, you know, 300,000 of them or 500,000 of them, it's never going to happen, you know, because obviously the more you can produce, the cheaper things are, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always been a battle throughout my journey to bring controllers really to life, you know. But I finally got there. There's some exciting things coming through the guys at, you know, Free Mode and Embracia that I've kind of now joined. So
yeah, we saw those announcements recently, man. So that's really amazing. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I mean that they're a giant. Like they're a giant within the industry, you know. So what does that mean? It just means, you know, I can tap into people like a Gearbox, or I can tap into PlayOn, or I can tap into, you know, some of their new franchises like Lord of the Rings and.
Dang.
Plus the own, you know, a lot of the comics. So you could go into like sort of realms of.
Opened a can of everything.
And they obviously own a lot of all the anime now.
Oh, you know, man.
So I can produce anime, and so the future for Pope is just gigantic. It's like, it's almost, I've gone from this little dude who's doing fan arts to this, you know, this huge thing where at any moment I could do a design and it could be in stores around the world, you know, and it all. Wow. It's industrially huge. It's people don't realize how big this adventure really is, but it's not really my job to kind of like, I'll tease things like that because I've always been a transparent type of guy, you know. I've always done that, and it's not to boast or brag or say, look at me, look how cool I am. It's to say to Tina and Derek, who are sitting there watching, like, look at Pope, look at him. And it's like, no, get off your ass, work 7 days a week like I do.
Yep.
You know, 365 days of the year. In fact, I do get my birthday off, actually, so 364 days.
Only one day, Pope.
And work, but also enjoy it, you know. Have yes. fun with it. Don't just treat it as a chore or a cash grab, you know. It's
right.
Like, it's, you've got to find something. And what I'm trying to say to people is, you can also do this, you know. Like, I'm nothing special, really. It's just I've dedicated my life,
You are special, because there's not many people that would do what you do. Like, it takes persistence to do what you do. So,
yeah, and it also takes, if you think about it, I've succeeded in this industry more or less by myself. So I've earned the respect of Microsoft. In fact, I'm the only person really to be Microsoft certified, approved, which I didn't realize, but to get that certificate is like the hardest thing on the planet. You know,
it's
that difficult to get that certificate.
That is a true Microsoft achievement.
Exactly. Like,
achievement.
I won't get, because obviously my good friend, you know, Seamus Blackley, you know, the guy who invented X. So I was talking to him about it, you know, and I was like, because me and him do talk, and he's, and I got Seamus, I got this like certificate from Microsoft. He's like, like, he's like, Pope, that's like the hardest thing on the planet to get, man. He says, like, that's like, because he does swear a lot as well. He's like, fucking hell, man, Pope, like that's huge. Like, he says, you know, and I've got, is it? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you fucking idiot. You know, I was like, what?
So it's like the Nobel Prize to the gaming industry?
More or less, and I didn't even realize. I thought it was just like, I don't know, I just thought it was just this, like, oh, it just means I could do some work for Microsoft, you know. So there's loads of stories like that, you know, that kind of go on behind the scenes. And I think as well, you know, within meetings that I have, I always have that kind of same, like, for instance, I've done work with, like, Warren Buffett, you know, the billionaire.
Yeah.
And I designed his European, one of his European innovation headquarters over
in
there.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Yeah. Over in Belgium, and it was in Brussels. So he has this crazy Geordie, you know, like, with my accent. And I've got, like, Italians and all sorts. I go, what language do you speak? And I got I'm English, man, you know. And I was like hanging out with him and stuff like that. Or I've worked with all the vice presidents and the CEOs of Coca-Cola. And I was like hanging out with him in Canary Wharf in London. I've even designed for the Queen of England before she passed away. You know,
you really are the Pope.
Yeah, I've done. Honestly, because I've worked with about 200 brands, like, you know, all the fashion houses, like Dolce & Gabbana and Chanel and Boss, Lacoste. I've kind of been around the block a long time, you know.
Yeah,
I would say so.
In the words of Ron Burgundy, you're kind of a big deal.
Big deal. Does your office smell rich mahogany?
<It's, laughs> Leather bound books.
Well, what was kind of weird, because in that industry, you know, because I used to do a lot of top secret stuff within the industry for huge people, you know, massive clients like that, you know. And I would meet some of the models and the people who are, you know, doing these ad campaigns, you know, and you think, hell, I know him, you know. And I became one of those guys that I would be home, and then I would be like, get a call, and like, we need you to go to, I don't know, you need to go to France. And I go, when? Like, this evening.
It's pack
like,
it up.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the client's requested you, they need you. I was like, oh god. You know, so a lot of the stuff I used to do was very spontaneous, you know. It was fly out to a different country, sort some problems out, or create new designs because the client couldn't think of something.
Was that stressful for, like, you and your family? Like, just to, like, randomly, oh, I gotta go here.
Because I did it for 20 years, so it's kind of like you just kind of just get used to it, you know. And if the clients always requested you, well, you just did it, you know.
So you've always been a designer? Like, this is something you've always done? And like, so how did you get into gaming?
About 30 years I've been designing.
Dang.
So I did, like, from exhibitions to huge and, you know, billion-dollar interiors. I've designed huge stores, airport interiors, and then I kind of fell into this industry called innovation design. And I used to do top secret facilities where lots of very wealthy businesses would go to experience the brand. So the best way I can describe it is, if you've seen the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, how you enter into Willy Wonka's world, and then you kind of go through the chocolate river, and you kind of go through all the different areas. I was doing that for real, but for, like, huge brands.
Wow.
It was very specialized. There was only this very, very small group of people around the world who had the knowledge and the experience to do that, because obviously I spent like 20 years doing design psychology and shopper insights and consumer insights. And so I know how people think, like, I know how people shop, I know how people impulse buy, and I can not, I hate the word using manipulate, but it's easy. It's easier to, it's
marketing
to get the thing, but I can literally trick anybody into impulse buy. Yeah. And I think that kind of naturally leaked a little bit in the designs that you're looking at now. So what I'm doing is, like that zipper, it's going down and it's going into the, you know, the D part, and it's there for a reason, because it's making your eye travel in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. It's what it's doing is, it's, oh, if you press this D part, like that zipper will kind of explode, and then whatever's inside's gonna kind of like come shooting out, and so they're not just pictures on a controller. They actually have little stories with inside them. You know, yeah. And
that's definitely one thing I've noticed about your controllers is a lot of your stuff is very intentional. Like, it has purpose in the design.
Yes.
It's not just like take a picture and make it fit on the controller. No, you have the design. You tell a story.
Like this
with
one,
it.
Yeah. I've put the vents there, right? And yeah. I could have put vents anywhere, but that's where the palm of the hand's going to go. So it's acting as a grip.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so now you've got control of the controller, you know, you're never going to like slip or slide, you know, it's almost like the controller becomes part of you and also part of the game. And not many people can do that within, because I only design these in like 10 minutes, you know, like I don't spend all day creating these, you know, it's because the faster I can do it, the more special they are, because it happened organically.
You're right.
Even crazier to think about.
It never happened. Like, I didn't force it to happen. I just allowed the design to naturally just appear.
There's a couple of things that I've learned in create like content is that there's typically architects and there's gardeners when it comes to creativity. Mm-hmm. And you seem like you're a gardener. You just like to get in there and just go.
But I've got to say, a lot of creatives, they fall in this trap of, because they always say, you know, you have to think out the box, you know. But then when you come to manufacturing or production, you have to kind of then go inside and be technically correct. Like, when I used to design interiors around the world, I had to think of, like, health and safety and fire protection and whether this thing was going to, like, you know, fall down after a month and kill somebody, or, you know, it, like, right. There's a lot of risk that you had to kind of design something that would, once it's built, it was going to stand there forever, you know. And then obviously, you know, you had to start thinking, well, whilst these people are walking through, are they going to keep bashing it, and is the material just going to disintegrate after like a while, and then it has to be replaced and replenished, and then you think of like the flooring. Then you have to think of the lighting. Then you have to think of the furnishings. So there's a lot of areas you have to think of within design just to produce that one item. So I kind of guess what I'm quite good at is, and what I always learned is, a bit like your analogy there, is you're either a thinker or you're a doer, you know. And luckily for me, I can switch between the two. Like, I can shut the technical aspect off.
That's
and just be a thinker or a doer. You know what I mean? It's because not many creatives can do that, because they fall into this trap of, and when I'm working for like, so, you know, clients like this, they'll, and I've got one at the minute. I'm very honored to work for this game that I'm working on. Obviously, I can't mention what it is because it's super thing. But
yeah,
I'll always tell them in the meeting, I went, like, I'm going to give you a design, right? And it's just whatever's come out of my head. But I know for a fact you're going to show your creative director, you're going to show your creative, and they're going to come back. We go, oh, you can't do that with a logo. Oh, you can't twist. Oh, that's not the right pad tone color for, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I know who that is, because, like, I've already studied your brand guidelines. But as a creative, my job is to break all the rules, like every single rule, to then be able to create something unique and different, mm-hmm. but what we can do is not totally bring it in so it's on, you know, brand gate equity, is just manipulate certain areas so they can be, you know. Otherwise, yeah, what's the point in hiring Pope? You may as well just do it yourself, you know. You may as well just go and get your own creative team to do something, you know. Like, I think, and it, well, it's not me being blasé or do you know who I am, you know. It's the fact that they're so fixated within that industry bubble. Like, it's all they know.
It's like they're trapped. Yeah,
exactly. So they can't think out the box.
Yeah,
because they're so contained. Mm-hmm. And it's not their problem. It's just it's because they eat and breathe what they do every day.
Yeah,
you know, they're locked in. So what my job is to force them not to follow my path, but to make them think differently, to sort of think, well, I know it's wrong, but why is it wrong? Because in my head it's right, and it's because of this and it. It's like you showing an image. Why did I turn the McDonald's logo on the side? Why did I not put it right?
That one. Yeah.
Because that's breaking brand guidelines, you see?
Yeah.
But guess what? If I put that
really cool.
If I put that the right way, it'll just look like symmetrical and boring.
Yeah.
But just me tilting it 45 degrees has now made it feel like it's exciting. It feels like it's moving. It feels wanting to do something. And all I've done is I've broke the brand guidelines by turning the logo 45 degrees. You know, it's just tiny little things like that. But in their heads, they'll not approve that because it's against brand guidelines. Yeah. You know, it's crazy once you get deep into the industry. You know,
I love it. We have a question for you too, Pope. One of them in the stream was, are we able to purchase any of the art or the controllers?
What I've always done, even right from the start, and I see other controller people do this, but I kind of created this where I'm happy to do things like this. They create them as visual fan arts.
Yeah.
But I would never go against the licensing people or the publisher or the game developer by going behind the back and making something that I know will either get me blacklisted or it'll make, you know, they're not going to sort of sue us, but they're going to knock on my door and tell us off, you know?
Right.
So I think it's important to also respect your boundaries, you know, like other people's boundaries. So what happens generally is, because everyone loves my designs anyways, they'll end up knocking on my door wanting it anyway, you know. It's so I haven't, why would I want to upset them initially by going behind their back when I know for a fact they're just going to knock on my door anyway, you know. So the answer is, some stuff I'm happy to make, but there's other stuff that all you're going to really get is the images that you're seeing, you know, because of that reason. I have to respect other people.
Servant has this question for you. He says, most custom controllers feel like controllers with art on them, and these feel like art that can be used as a controller.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll look at some designs that I've done, and I'll go, fucking hell, that is actually quite good at it.
No, that's too shabby.
Because actually, you might know yourself, being like a creative guy, is you actually do become blind to your own work.
Yeah.
Like, you really do. It's funny, I'll tell you this little trick, right? Like, when you see something on the screen, you think, oh, that looks great, doesn't it? But have you ever printed it out? And it's not until you print it out, you go, oh, God, there's a mistake there. There's a mistake there. It's weird how, like, sometimes you just don't notice things on screen. And there's sometimes I've done, like, designs, because I do them so fast. And then I post them out, you know, people go, no, you've got the button the wrong way, you've got this the wrong way. I go, oh shit, I have that. You know, it's like, how did I not see it? You know, just totally didn't see it. But it's always fun playing with the hardcore gamers, you know, because sometimes I'll do stuff and I know it's going to wind them up, you know, because I've done something where it's no, because like, Master Chief wouldn't do that because back in such, you know, they go through the
such
history
and such
of,
book, or yeah,
it's like he wears this logo, you know, like, and I go, mate, like, I did it in 10 minutes, man, give us a break, you know,
yeah. Like, I think I would probably give my one of my kidneys for this Star Wars one because I love Star Wars, and this R2 one is just, I love it, man.
And the thing
is, me both kidneys.
I used to have I would have like the guys at certain people at Xbox, let's say. I won't mention names, but they would go, Tom, your designs are poop, your designs are amazing, but guess what? Like, they're impossible to make, you know. And I go, well, like, what makes them impossible to make? Well, so me making stuff in the past has kind of proved that fact wrong, because like, if I can do it and I'm just one dude, like, surely $1 million company. And then I've always went back to people who say things are impossible, with like, it's only impossible because the solution hasn't been invented yet, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's impossible to make them, like, let's find a way to make them. You know, let's invent a new machine, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I suppose, you know, did they say it was too difficult to go to the moon, you know? Like, guess what, someone achieved it.
Right. I mean, you sound a lot when you say that. I've watched so many interviews, but you sound so much like George Lucas to me when he was making the original trilogy. Like, one of the things he said is like, they didn't know how to do the things he wanted to do, so they just figured it out as they went.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I don't know if you've watched Industrial Light and Sound, but it's fantastic. It's just like, they go over a lot of the things that you talk about, like, you're just making the impossible possible, thinking outside the box. Like, it's just really cool.
And sometimes that's a lazy person's attitude, to, because it's easy to say words, right? But if you looked at something, and I'm referring this to anyone in this chat or anyone who sees this at a later date, it's, if you really feel in your heart that something can be done, or, you know, there's got to be a way to do it, there's got to be,
yeah,
then go for it, you know. Because if you listen to all those people that tell you that you can't do something, or you can't have this, or you can't achieve this, you'll just sit there in your armchair all day watching TV, you know, like just do it. Like,
yeah,
I think, is it Walt Disney? I think he had 8 bankruptcies or something, or he's failed so many times, you know, and like, look what he's achieved, you know. He's got one of the biggest theme parks in the world, you know. If you just kept saying, right, I failed once and then that's it, like, oh, that's it, I'll give up, then, you know, like, if you think, I've failed 4 times up to now with Pope Art, but I just kept chiseling, I kept knocking on the door. And even if you knock on someone's door and they go, no, yeah, all right, just give it a day or two and knock again, you know.
There
just,
you go.
Or give it a week later, or just say, because guess what? It might be a different person that answers the door.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's not always about the, just because that person that you first let you down doesn't mean someone within that same team just has got this little eye that just sees something within yourself. It's like, you've got potential, you I don't know what it is, but there's something about you that I think you could do, you know. And it might be just because the other person was too busy and they never noticed, you know. It was so never give up knocking on doors.
Love it, man.
Yeah. So tell me how Pope became Pope the Gamer. I want to hear that.
Oh, the controllers. Or as in a gamer.
This is a gamer.
I mean, I started back in the ZX Spectrum days, me. Where you had your kind of tape recorder, and it would go make that E and not like squeaky high pitch noise, you know. And then I don't know, you had enough time to go for some food, make a cup of tea, maybe go for a walk, and then come back and your game might be loaded. Or it might just go, oh shit, it's crashed. You know, it's like, ah. So you'd have to go through the whole process again, you know. But and then I kind of drifted into the Commodore area, and then obviously the Amiga days. But my first ever console would have to be, I think in the UK it was the Sega Mega Drive, but I think for you guys it's the Genesis, I think it was.
Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And so, then Sega CD.
And guess what? I never went to Nintendo, you know. I just couldn't do it. It was just the fact that I just loved that sort of Sega route, you know. And then I got into the realms of PC, and that was it. Bad move, because like I was just like, holy crap, look at this.
Yes. All
the things I could do with like a PC, yes. You know. I remember having dial-up.
Yes.
The old AOL days.
It was cool because I was like, my first ever, like, was like one of these online chat things. AOL, I think it was, wasn't it?
Instant Messenger, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember chatting to someone in Australia or something. It was like, fucking hell, it's Australia, you know? Like, this is cool, you know? And you'd be like up all night, just like, chatting rubbish, you know, like, are you sure you're in Australia? Like, yeah, I'm in Australia. And then obviously, you know, and that was it. And then I stopped gaming for a while because obviously I had a family. And I remember my son was like old enough to kind of game, you know. So I went to a store, and then the game stores were normally laid out as PlayStation one side, Xbox the other. Yep. It was like, that's just how it was, you know. Yep. And then
big divide.
A couple of little titles in the middle of something, and t-shirts or merch or something, you know. So I just say something like, which one do you want? Do you want a PlayStation? Do you want an Xbox? And he chose Xbox. So then that's why we just sort of dabbled so much with Xbox, really.
Yeah.
So that was about only to say, I've had like, obviously, I've had PlayStations and that as well, but we've always sort of really been quite more dominantly Xbox, just because it's just been easier for us. We had gained friends, we gained, you know, like a community, we gained, you know, and that was the only reason, really. It wasn't.
Well, it's like you said, it's a bigger canvas to design on. You know,
well, yeah,
there you go.
Even it's weird because loads of people ask us to do Elites, and I refuse to do them only for one reason. It's the fact if I ever got them made, they're always breaking down, you know.
Yes, sadly, so it's yes.
Like, could you imagine, like, oh, poor, like, the controller's broke, but I'm still under warranty. Can you fix it? Oh, you know, so like, I've then got to like
a whole division,
I've then got to like. Get it replaced, and it's just a right mess.
Wow,
yeah.
You know, so that's the only reason. I don't mind doing a couple of fan arts, but getting them made is—I just refuse to do it. You know,
yeah.
See, his bumper's broke.
Yeah,
come on, turbo. In fact, on my camera there, I've got one, two. I've got. Well, see if I can quickly spin my camera. There. So,
let's see this.
So I've got like. You know, I've got Elites there. I've got the gear, the Halo, the gear. You can already see the gears there.
Yeah.
I've got Elites there. You know, I've got Elites at the back there. I've got controllers down there. I've got controllers down here. You know, it's like, my house is just. And then I've got another room full of controllers. I've got controllers in the loft.
Yeah.
So I've got like about eight. I think I've got eight Elite controllers. And it's because the bumpers are break, or the rubber grips fell off.
I get stick drift on my stick all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's so. Do you know what I use? I just use a normal controller now.
Yeah,
I don't even use an Elite.
Yep.
I'm so sweaty and shooters. I have to have the paddles, though. I gotta have them, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, this did you see the new sort of product I've been working on, the Nitro Deck?
Yes, I was gonna let me bring that up because that was actually on Summer Games Fest, right?
Sure was.
Yeah, it was part of the. So what we did is we had a one of my partners, Jackie, had an interview with IGN, and the idea is, and this is kind of probably going to sound a bit like wacky, but the handhelds, and it's ergonomically like amazing to hold, and it's one of the very first with zero stick drift. So it doesn't matter what you do, it'll never stick drift. And so what you do is you put your switch screen inside. So it almost turns your switch into almost a Steam Deck looking thing, you know? But the other beauty is now they've got Pope is exclusive Rangers, like super high-end exclusive kind of designs that and because it's linked to an app, you see the kind of little device on the back there. Yeah. Once you scan that, because there's technology within the device, it'll instantly tell you what number you are. So you could buy one and you might be number one of 100. So that's it. It's like there's only ever 100 made.
Dang. So
you're the owner of number one, or you know, someone down the road might be owner of number four.
Definitely adds the collector level up there. People love to know the rarities.
So, and if you're number one, you might be actually at a plat level. And the more you collect, obviously, the more rewarded, let's say, or you know, that kind of rarity within your design becomes. So, you know, I kind of guess it almost makes the design where I don't know the technicalities. I'm just sort of speaking out loud here between like us in the chat. Like, if you had a rare design, I guess the resale of that design could be quite high, you know, down the line. So it's almost like you're inheriting something that could be worth something later down the line, I guess. A bit like when you see the old retro controllers and stuff like that, and, you know, they go for quite a bit of money sometimes, you know, if you've got like a rare Nintendo Switch color or, you know. So that IGN one there, that is only one of one. So that'll never ever be repeated.
That's so crazy.
Basically, that guy owns that one of one, and he's got the app to prove it, and so he's almost been certified as only ever owning the one of one. So if I did you a design and sent you it, you would be one of one of that design.
That's nuts, dude.
So that's the other sort of beauty of what we're doing.
That is awesome.
That is
so cool. We've got a lot going on with Nitro Deck, so I'm really excited. And then, you know, obviously, you know, there's going to be a time where there's going to be only Pope exclusive Rangers or only designs that might be one of 10, and they're officially, you know, got that stamp, that sort of stamp of approval by Pope, you know.
The gamer collector's dream.
Exactly, yeah. You know. So, and I think I also quite like the idea, you know, I had this partnership, or I probably still have, I guess, with GameStop, where they wanted, you know, Pope designs in all their GameStop stores. And the idea was, a GameStop in like Texas might only have a certain Pope design in it, so you couldn't get it in any other state, just in there. And then, you know, there might be a GameStop in, I don't know, New York or something, and it would only be exclusive to that store. So there was all talks like that, and, you know, it was, it's a, the Pope brand is super powerful. You know, it's got that, you know, that recognition of exclusivity, that rarity, that sort of feeling that. And I am working on with a very, very big name, huge.
I mean,
giant.
Bigger than the Queen of England.
Yeah. And we're going to do something super exciting in 4 countries. So Pope's only going to be exclusive in 4 countries. Whoa. With this mega challenge of, like, and we're going to make his work hard, like, to get a design. Like, you're not just going to be able to pick up, like, you're not going to be able to pick up this design. You're going to have to work hard to get a Pope controller, you know?
I see the challenge.
And this playfulness, you know, if you think about it, that's what the Pope brand's made of. You know, it's you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to say. But what he's going to do is make you smile. Yeah. You know? He's always going to make you smile, because that's kind of what he does. So my job is to, in these 4 countries, to make someone's day feel very special, you know, and that's all it'll do. Is as long as I know that reaction at the end of it is that big smile, then I know I've achieved my goal. So, you know,
you need to be stalking your Twitter and your Instagram. Is that what you're saying?
Honestly, it blows my mind, because loads of people say, "Pope, how, like, you don't got like a million followers or something?" And I was like, "God, I've not." Like, it's like sometimes I think, I even had some guy once, right? And he was like, "I don't know." He was like, "You work in like one of the toughest prisons in the world or something," and I think so. He's like, you know, he's with like tough guys, you know, like tougher, way tougher than me. And he's like, "Pope." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "It took us 3 weeks to talk to you." And I was like, "All right, why did I not reach out?" And he's like, no, I needed the courage to talk to you. because like, you're Pope."
Yeah.
I was like, shut up. Why do you work with like some of the hardest men in the world? You know, like, what, you're scared of me? I was like, "No, I says, just talk to us anytime, man." It's like, If I don't reach out straight away, it's because, like, I don't know, I'm in a meeting or something, or you know, I'm on the toilet or something, you know.
Yeah. Like, well, like, if you're on the toilet, you might be like,
"Hey, most of my best tweets come from the toilet." I tell you.
There you go.
It's just one of those things, you know. I'll try and reach out, and the way I kind of describe it, I did describe it briefly in Twitter world yesterday, is I'm technically a brand, right? And I'm a very big global brand now, you know, and I should really be a lot more, you know, reserved, like a lot more, like, don't speak to this, like, just don't speak, you know, like, or don't communicate anymore, because, like, you might tarnish your brand or something, you know, or you might think, but the way I describe it is I'm like the shopkeeper in the store. So it's like, "Ah, you all right? How's it going? What can I help you with?" Or, you know, it's like, "Hey, how, you know, I heard about Dorothy last week. Is she doing okay?" You know, it's like, you know, it's just that love to be one to one with people, you know, and talk and just be, where sometimes I know people's business, because, like, I found out about a week ago that, you know, like, unfortunately that one of the family members passed away. So I'll reach out like 2-3 weeks later and go, "Oh, are you okay? Are you still managing all right? You know, or how's this and how's that?" And it, I think, because Pope has a very sort of that kind of looked up stature, you know, people look up to him, the type thing. I think it's more important that I do reach out on a one-to-one, because then it gives people hope, it gives people encouragement to just get back on their feet, you know, especially because we all know what it's like when times are bad, you know, the the best solution is hide in your bed or something, you know, or just lay on the couch and drown your sorrows a bit, you know. Well, listen, man, come on, let's get out. Let's get some fresh air. Let's get things moving again, you know. Let's get you back on your feet.
We need more people like that, honestly. We need more people like you, yourself, and brands like that in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, because there's just so much, like, man, it's just like, it gets overwhelming. And just one little word of encouragement can keep you going for 20 years, you know?
Oh, huge. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest problems I have is I'll get loads of people whinging, but I see a whinging, crying, I should say. You unfollow this book. Why? You know, and it's like, listen, I can't follow everybody. You know, if I followed everybody, Jesus, could you imagine the chaos of my social? You know, I mean, so yeah. I have to kind of keep my numbers quite low, and it's not me being any like a diva or anything, or being anything special. It's just I can't exceed a certain number because Jesus, my mental health would just go.
Yep.
You know, it's like so I have to kind of be selective in an aspect, and it's no disrespect to anyone because everyone's lovely. Yeah, everyone's special, especially to me. It's just I can't because I tried it once before and I had to have a social media break, man, because like it drove us mad. You know, when you see everyone's you were just seeing too many people's problems or too many people's situations, and I was trying to like absorb them into my own. I was like, it's not even my problem, but I feel like really bad. You know, oh my God, you know. So I had to kind of pull back just for my own sanity, really. And so I always tell people, look, don't obsess over followers, man. Like you say, I should be like a million followers, but I haven't, but I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like my brand's in every store around the world. So like, do I really need big social media numbers? But no, not really. But I'm lucky enough to have those. But you don't need to follow Pope to communicate with him. You can just reach out, just chat. You know, let's talk about, I don't know, talk about the weather or something, or
talk tell about us about Pope water.
Yeah, like I think that's a problem, especially with Twitter, is that they think that they're so, a lot of people think you've got to follow these certain rules, you know. So if you talk to someone, you've got to follow them, or they've got to follow you back. And if they unfollow you, like, it's because they hate you. And it's like, well, like, me and my, like, one, I don't hate you. It's just, like,
too much.
You know, like, sometimes as well, how I describe it to people, because I think they obsess over it a little bit, is could you imagine if you're walking down a road, right, a street, and you just went to this first store, like the first bar, and you hung out with like a group of people for like, I don't know, 2 years, and then they just continued for the next 10 years drinking in that bar. But like at the fifth year, you went, now yes, I'm going to try a different bar, I'm kind of bored, I'm just going to move on and try the one up the road, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of just a little bit like that. It's not like you just want to change the scenery, you know. You just want to try, see what else is out there, you know. Just want to. And what people need to remember is life, all life is about experiences. That's all it is. It's how many experiences you can fit in your 80 years that you might live, or your 70 years, or your 60 years. You know, that's all it is. It's like, so the more you fixate on one thing and stay there for like a huge length of time, that's all you've got to remember. Like, that's all you've like achieved within your 70 years of life. But if you kind of do what I do, which is I'm over here 1 minute, then I'm up here, there, then I'm down here, then I'm doing this, then I'm doing, you know, like what I'm doing is I'm just filling my life up. That when I get the age of 70 and I say to my son, yeah, you know, like I've just told you there, I work with Warren Buffett, I've worked with Sir Richard Branson, I've designed for the Queen, I've done this, I've done that. I've done so many things. And it's because I got off my butt and just went, do you know what it is? I've got to do this today. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it, you know. Like,
exactly.
And then you kind of go to the next part of the journey and you know, you just think. It's funny. I was watching. I don't know if you've seen it, the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing on Netflix at the minute.
So I not watched that one yet.
Well, I was watching it last night. But if you watch it and you listen to his kind of life story, and the only reason why he's kind of changed role is just you just got bored. You know, it's just like, yeah. I got bored, so I just kind of did this. And then I got bored a lot, so I just fucking did this. You know, like that's all it is. It's just people.
I think, too, you need a challenge, you know? Like yeah. You know, someone like yourself, you're creative, you're learning, you're a learning animal. So it's like sometimes you just get bored and you're like, I need to push myself somewhere else, you know?
Plus my head is like because obviously my disabilities, it's like I was thinking about how to best describe it, and it was like, do you know, like in the end game where Doctor Strange was like, and like, yeah, I know how it's going to end, and it's like, hang on a minute, that just like took you 2 seconds, but you like, you went through all them combinations, you know?
Yeah,
that's kind of how my head designs. So if you said, hey Tom, can you, or Pope, can you do a Doom controller, like in my head I've done like 50 designs already, like within that short time, so yeah. I know what works and what doesn't, because like I've already created all these designs in my head in that awesome. Second. But I think a lot of that as well comes down to the 30 years of experience, you know, like, because I know what's going to fail, and I know like,
right,
maybe all right, let's test the waters, let's see. So yeah. Pope's a strange character.
No, this has been really, really interesting. I creatives to me are so interesting because they're so unique. And so I just love hearing your story and hearing, you know, kind of how you are. And it makes me happy to know there's more people like you in the world who have like the brand that you do, the following you do, and your concern is to lift others up as well. And so it's just like,
I mean, loads of times I thought, you know what it is? I'm just gonna get rid of the whole thing. Like, I'm just gonna delete Pope and delete everything because I'm sick of yous all. Yous have wound us up. But then someone just comes along and then just you just go, oh, I can't leave because this person needs help now. You know, it's like, I think a lot of people as well, they think that what they don't see about Pope is the stuff I do secretly to help people.
Yes.
Like I help homeless kids. I help, I do like the food banks, and at Christmas time we buy all the kids toys for Christmas who aren't going to get anything, and I do quite a lot of charity stuff, but I'm always anonymous. I'm not after the gold badge, if you know what I mean. It's
right,
this is kind of me doing something that is personal to me, because in my past I experienced like that side of life where poverty and being very deprived of things. So for me it's almost like I'm paying back.
There you go.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that hurt that I had to tolerate for so many years, I'm fixing it because I feel like I'm fixing it by making somebody else's life much, much better, you know. At the end of the day, I'm just gonna die and be buried in the ground anyway. So what am I gonna do with it, you know? Like, I may as well make somebody else's life happier.
Yeah, leave a bit of a legacy behind as well.
And a legacy, you talk about that, you know. I think, you know, these type of people never forget you. Doesn't matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because you've given them like $1,000 or something like that. It's the fact what you've done has made, it's almost like being kicked to the floor and everyone keeps kicking you and kicking you, but then someone's come along and went, right, leave them alone, guys. Right, come on. Come with me. We're going to go for a little walk down here. What I'm going to do is, but then the same day, they'll never see me ever again. And my job was never to help them to forever. It was just to get them up.
Get them started.
Just get them started. And that's kind of, I do a lot of that where I'll just give people little nudges on the right path. Like, go on, get on that path. You, once you get to the end, you'll be all right. I'm telling you, because I already know what the outcome is going to be, because I've already experienced that kind of life. Mm-hmm. And but they haven't experienced it yet, so that's how I know they're going to be okay. You know, so I think sometimes it's important, if you have a life experience and someone out there, you recognize someone out there is having that similar thing that you went through, don't be scared just to give them a little nudge. You don't have to be a lecturer, you don't have to be a counselor, you don't have to guide them all the way to the end. You just got to give them a little nudge, and then away they go. And I guarantee, and I still get this day, you'll get a little message with a thank you from them. You'll not get the thank you on day one. You'll get it once they reach the end. Because I get DMs all the time with, like, you know, like, poor, sorry to bother you, I know you're busy. Everyone thinks I'm busy. I am busy, but like, everyone could start off a conversation with, like, my poor, I know you're busy. And I go, what's happening? Do you remember when you told us something like 4 months ago? And I was like, no, because one thing I don't do is I don't keep my DMs. Like, I'm not one of these things that refers to someone like, oh, but you said this in 2012, because I've got it. Yeah, I've got it screenshot. I'm like, that, I just delete my DMs straight away, me. And I go, no, what happened? Like, he says, well, you just said something to us, and honestly, this, like, it changed my life. Like, I can't believe how amazing my life is now. I was like, really? It's like, what did I say?
Must have been profound.
I was like, God, I'm glad it worked out. I hope I didn't say something to make it go the other way.
Right.
You know, so it's just strange. And I think, like you say, if there's more people out there who can just take notice of people rather than being too self-centered about themselves or too worried about their own life, just share a little bit, you know. Just, it doesn't take long to do, you know, and you don't even need to spend any money. You know, it's not coming out of your pocket, it's just words.
That's true.
Courage.
You know, words are always free, you know. So I think just little things like that. So no, I'm excited. I've been on some crazy design journeys. I've worked with celebrities and superstars and designed in so many different countries around the world. I think, you know, when you get to my age, nearly that, you know, that 50 mark, you stop wanting to not learn, but you just constantly want to give.
Yeah.
You can't help it. It's so natural. Like, I don't even think about what I'm doing half the time. You just have this, like, it's almost like your body clock changes, like your body changes to become
the wisdom you've gained over the years. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, you feel like you need to give it, like, what you've learned, like, back out.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how it works. So I think it most of, like, what my social feed, it's about that.
Yeah.
Like, what I'll do, because obviously I've had the 20 years of psychology, is without me seeing directly what to do, I'll twist the words or the meaning, so then they can figure it out themselves. But what I'm doing is I've entered their subconscious mind. I've deliberately planted a seed within their subconscious. They'll not know that I've done that until a little bit down the line, when they'll come back and go, "Poop, you said something to me and it changed my life. What did you do?" And I just say, because I subconsciously planted a seed that I knew was going to cause trigger points. And we used to do a lot of this in the shop by retail. You know, when you first go into a store, I would subconsciously cause trigger points within the store that would force you to go down a certain aisle or be interested in a certain product. And it was because I was using certain subconscious techniques that were tricking you into buying a brand or being immersed in something that you didn't even, because I know if every shopper is going in for essentials, so I know you're going for bread and milk. Like, I know for a fact. Why? Because the shelf span is so small, you know, because milk and bread only lasts for so long before it goes moldy, you know.
Right.
So straight away, I know the certain time scale that you're going to revisit a store. Another techniques we used to do was change the store around. So we used to move aisles, and it was to force you to go into a certain aisle that you thought was like out of that, like the snack aisle or something, you know, but now it's something else. So we used to use a lot of techniques to, other little techniques would do is, or I would do is say you had a product and it was like, it was only like $20, but how do you make that $20 item feel like $100 or $200? And it's about placement. That's all it is. It's if you place it next to a Rolls Royce, let's say, and took the price tag off, instantly in your mind, you would say, that watch must be like mega. I can't afford that watch. I bet it's dead. Yeah. I bet it's like $2,000 or something. I bet you, but it's not. It's a $20 watch. It's just I've placed it next to something that you, in your mind, know that it's expensive. And we used to do a lot of. I mean, it's easy for me just to use the word. It's like dummy terms. So we used to use a lot of manipulation or tricks or just the kind of. Without sort of breaking, you know, the law or something, or forcing, you know, false advertisement or stuff like that. But do you know what I mean? It's easy for me to dummify the process, so then the normal kind of people can, like, who don't understand, like, how
make it easily translate. Yeah.
Yeah. So people who don't understand how to, you know. Infiltrate the subconscious, like, let's say, without this hypnotizing you.
I know that, like, I've really appreciated you on Twitter and just your art, and I know a lot of the people that will listen to this podcast or some of the people that have watched it live that are going to appreciate your insight. I mean, I know you've made an even bigger fan for me. I don't know about Thaddeus, but
I can't. I'm out. I'm done.
Go ahead.
I'll say, after you explaining about how you made trigger points in the retail stores and how you broke down the way you do things the way you do, you can now see and understand more of why your designs are the way they are. They're very intentional. You know what the consumer, you know what the company, and even the consumer needs, kind of more than they know themselves. And that's why they're like, come around knocking on your door later on. And then that just makes me appreciate what you do so much more, because you're grounded. You are a real person. You're not like ego driven at all, but you just make exceptionally great art, and it's all intentional. And that makes me respect what you do and yourself a lot more.
No, it's funny you say exactly that. It's like, I'll not manipulate people for the bad or the evil. It all has an end goal. Mm-hmm. Like, I already know what the end goal is, because I'm so experienced. I'm so technically wizardry in my head. Why? Because I've worked with some of the best business and cleverest people in the world. I've absorbed every technique possible that's used in shopper retail or consumer insights, blah blah blah, but I do it in such a way that I'm not being like, look at me, you know, like I'm the smart ass here, you know, I'm the clever guy, so you must listen to me. I'll just go, yeah, no worries. Just like, if I'm in meetings, like I've had some of the biggest powerful meetings, I'll just sit and observe. I'll not even talk, and it's because I already know what the outcome is, and it's And it's because, and then at the end, then I'll voice my concerns or.
Yes.
And it's another form of, it's another form of a psychological trick. Like if I want you to listen, like if I want you to really listen to me, what I'll do is say, so if your name was Ian, I'll go, so Ian, what I'm going to talk to you about is you know, like how we can get this product. So Ian, if I put this thing in the thing, do you know what I'm saying, Ian? So what I'm constantly doing is I'm constantly saying the word Ian. I'm constantly saying your name mixed in with other words. And what I'm doing is I'm hitting your subconscious. So I'm actually forcing this information into your head because I'm constantly saying your name.
Reinforce it, yeah.
And what I'm doing is I'm locking it in. And
you should read this. I think you would love it because what you're doing, it's Donald Miller, Build a Story Brand. you're doing exactly what he says, which is like there's four typical architects or people in stories. It's the hero, the victim, the villain, and the guide. And what you do, what I'm seeing now, even as we kind of talk through what you do, is that you definitely make the customer or the people who appreciate your art the hero. And you're the guide. You're guiding them.
And do you know that there's only four shoppers in the world? So everyone falls into these four shopper types, no matter who you are. Yes. And that's so what we used to call them is like we used to give them sort of names, you know, so like Simplistic Sue. So Simplistic Sue is a shopper who just wants bread and milk. They need to get in there because they need to get out, you know. So they're quite, they know what they want and they know what they need. How do I make them impulse buy? You know, how do I make them buy a tube of Pringles? You know, and then you've got your sort of bargain shopper, so they're into like bog offs, like buy one get one free, or they want more than just the product that they're buying. They want to feel like they're getting something else. Then you've got your tech savvies who they'll just buy it because it's brand new. It's like I've got to be the first to get it because like this is cool, this is new, and you know. And what you're doing is once you know what the four shopper types are, is you can just manipulate your marketing, your consumer sort of paths, let's say, to force your product or your brand to kind of sell in different ways, you know. That's having connection issues. Oh, we're back.
Yeah, you're good here.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've really appreciated you taking time to talk to us. And I kind of want to wrap us up here. But before we do, I want to ask you, Pope, do you have any like final thoughts you want to share with the listeners or any words of wisdom or any encouragement or anything you want to say to these people who follow your brand or have worked with you?
Just be you and just enjoy life. It's honestly, life is so simple. It's unbelievable. Once you know, just being you is what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, Pope, we appreciate it, man. It was such an honor just to kind of chat with you, pick your brain, hear your story, you know, find out about how you kind of approach art and life and people.
Man. Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, let's do a V2, you know, Pope V2.
Yes. We'll have to catch it up again. Yeah.
Maybe next time we'll talk about games or something, you know. Like not a,
maybe not we can do something a little like, I don't know, we'll see. What's the next big expo? I guess not, tomorrow, you know.
Maybe it's not like boring Pope, you know. Like, I mean, I know it was just, I mean, I'm only just skirted briefly about
Pope. We can call it the Chronicles of Pope. We don't know when it's going to end.
but the thing is that what I'm trying to do is just feed enough information that maybe it might inspire someone to just sort of get up off their ass and get moving, you know. But don't this weekend though. Enjoy weekend. spend family time, you know.
Yeah, I think Thaddeus just gave us the podcast title for this episode, The Chronicles of Pope. So,
totally talk of the water.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys that are watching us live, I really appreciate you. All you guys that are watching us or listening to us anywhere else, thank you for watching us. Make sure you go and follow Pope. I'll put it in the podcast notes. Great guy. Great dude. I love hearing your story. But as we always say, when in doubt, blow it up, baby!
Blow it up!